An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off this week. Ravens at OTAs as we speak. Open to the media coming up on Wednesday. You get some more information coming out of one winning drive as the Ravens, like everybody else, preparing for an NFL season, which has got an interesting slate of games. You got Wednesday games, Christmas doubleheaders, all sorts of crazy things happening. Here to talk about that. Preview the AFC just a little bit post-draft, post-schedule. Into OTAs with mandatory minicamp coming up in about a month or so. From NFL.com, let's welcome back to the show, Jeffrey Chedia. Jeffrey, what's happening?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there, bro. Appreciate the time as always. Let me ask you this. With the Chiefs, had some off-the-field issues here. Rashee Rice, I guess there was some weed action going on there over the weekend as well. The roster, we look at it now, if Sheriff Goodell gets in and starts demanding things with punishments and such, could there be some possible suspensions working out there at Arrowhead for September 5th against Baltimore?
Oh, well, certainly Rashee Rice is deep in the crosshairs. The video of the drag racing and the admission and the charges he faces, that's, you know, I talked to people around the league who said they would not be shocked if that was 6 to 8 games that he would miss. That's why they've been looking around at other receivers. They had, you know, talked about Tyler Boyd coming in here at one point before he signed with Tennessee, and Zay Jones was on their list. So they're looking around for some options there, and certainly with the weed charge with Wanya Morris, who is a left tackle who was going to compete for starting job. Now he was arrested over the weekend. You know, that remains to be seen how that plays out there, but usually that with a charge, you know, that's a pretty good chance it could be some kind of punishment coming that could relate to a suspension as well. And then certainly the controversy with Harrison Butker was not suspendable, but certainly the Chiefs probably don't want to be spending all this time talking about players off the field antics. They'd rather talk about what's happening on the field.
Now, Jeffrey, you mentioned wide receiver and Rice to be determined, but they bring in Marquise Brown, who we're familiar with here in these parts, old Hollywood, and then draft Xavier Worthy. Last year's wide receiver group, much scrutinized, still got a ring. I guess that's all that matters. But how much have they upgraded at that position? How much better are they, Jeffrey, than they were when they won the Super Bowl a few months ago?
Well, they're better and from the standpoint of they actually have some players now that can really threaten the field vertically. That was something that Marquez Valdez-Scantling last year, they were really upset with. You know, he's a fast guy, but he just was not reliable catching the football down the field. So adding a Hollywood Brown, adding a Xavier Worthy, they bring that element in. And I tell people all the time, their value was more in creating space for people like Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice underneath to do what they do, because that was really what was happening last season. When you saw teams weren't respecting the deep game, all of a sudden it was harder for those guys to get open and make plays. So, yeah, I think they're going to really rely heavily on those guys to really push the ball down the field with Mahomes and hopefully open up the offense a lot more.
Now, we stay in that division, the AFC West, and Kansas City, the Kings, until proven otherwise. A lot of excitement, enthusiasm, optimism about the Chargers. Are you buying into the Chargers taking quantum leaps from where they were last year, one of the worst teams in the AFC?
Well, they're going to be better just because I'm a big Jim Harbaugh fan. I went to Michigan. I've known mutual friends for a long time. And obviously, he's done a tremendous job wherever he's gone. So they're going to be better coached. I feel like even though the big names aren't going to be there or as many big names on offense, they're going to play a style of football that is going to be successful pretty quickly. They obviously went and got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. The receivers are going to be young, but when you look at what he did when he got to San Francisco back when his last venture into the NFL, it was pretty similar. Go find some big offensive linemen, go find some backs to run the football, and don't rely so much on it. He was relying on receivers like Michael Crabtree, you know, back in those days. So it wasn't like he was hitting big names then. But ultimately, they're going to be a run-first team. They're going to try to obviously get after the quarterback with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. They've got good defenders in the back end with Derwin James. So there's still players there. I don't see them being a huge competitor right now to the Chiefs, but certainly within the next 2-3 years, I could see them challenging for the division.
Jeffrey Jadia, NFL.com, NFL Network, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, having some NFL lunch. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. Let's get to the AFC South. And Jeffrey, we were talking about it last segment. A year ago at this time, I'm like, watch out for Jacksonville. Look out for Jacksonville. Woo, Jacksonville. Then they didn't even make the playoffs since they collapsed late in the season. Now Houston appears to be this year's Jacksonville. Are the Texans better today than the Jags were a year ago at this time when they were kind of the trendy pick in the AFC?
I feel like they are. One, I trust their defense more, and that was the thing that Jacksonville, even though Josh Allen had a big year for them, that you didn't really know if they were going to be able to be consistent with the pass rush. And, again, Trevor Lawrence is a guy that, as touted as he's been, as talented as he is, there's something – to me, he's a lot like Justin Herbert. He's one of those guys, when you look at him, he has all the things you want in a quarterback, but there's something that – He doesn't have that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, that difference making factor when a big play is needed. It's just he's missing that. T.J. Stroud has that in spades. I've seen it, all throughout last year. You saw it. Wherever he played, he was fearless. Got to his first playoff game, he was fearless. And I feel like that's the difference. I think he is legitimately in that same class as Mahomes, as Allen, as Jackson, as Joe Burrow. And when you talk about what they've done around him, I think bringing Stephon Diggs is a big help. I think getting Danielle Hunter on defense is a big help. Adding Joe Mixon in the backfield. They're doing some smart things and building around it. So I like their chances of avoiding what happened to Jacksonville this past year.
Now, in that division, I mean, we'd like to assume around these parts of the AFC North is the toughest division in football. 3 playoff teams last year, everybody above 500. What about the South? We talked about Houston and the Jags. The Colts were above 500, barely missed the playoffs. I mean, Tennessee, who knows what Levis brings to the equation there. But how tough, deep could the AFC South be this season?
It's going to be competitive. I mean, for that, but I think all these teams, I think Houston obviously is the cream of the crop, but you're right. I think Jacksonville, I think Tennessee, if things break right, I think Indianapolis are all in the same boat. I think Indianapolis is a very sneaky team because Anthony Richardson was playing fairly well before he got hurt last year, and he was showing some signs of being able to do some things. I've talked to their general manager, Chris Ballard, in the offseason, and he really stressed the need to get more speed on offense. And so you've seen that in the draft. You've seen them obviously hold on to some key players like Michael Pittman and Zaire Franklin. And so you're seeing Kenny Moore. You're seeing them do the right things as well. But I think they're really well situated because I think Richardson is going to be a really good quarterback. And if he stays healthy, they should be a good team.
All right, AFC North, Ravens, kings of it, at least last year. Burrow's healthy, we think. Pittsburgh changed their quarterback room. Cleveland made the playoffs last year. Watson coming back from shoulder surgery, at least as we sit on May the 20th. Jeffrey Jadia, how are you handicapping the AFC North right now?
I like the Bengals. I like the Ravens. Maybe they end up tied. Maybe the Bengals win. Maybe the Ravens win it. But if I'm picking two teams out of that division to make the playoffs, it's those two teams. I trust the Ravens with what they did last year and, with the offense, the way it matured around Lamar, the weapons that are there. I know losing Mike McDonald is a big hit on defense, but I think Zach Gore, having been there before, they tend to do a pretty good job. They bring in guys who've been in the system. So I like them, being able to be back in the playoff contention, championship contention. And then the Bengals, Joe Burrow, if he stays healthy, they're going to be a monster. I mean, people are kind of minimizing them based on what happened last year, but they were playing really good football until he went down with that wrist injury, which I think was against Baltimore. And so I feel like they're going to be in pretty good shape. I don't trust Cleveland, given how things broke out for them last year. I can't imagine, some 40-year-old quarterback walking off the street and coming in and winning games for them at the end of the year. So I got to see what Deshaun Watson does. And then Pittsburgh, you got to show me as well as Russell Wilson. And And God, the Justin Fields. I think you've got to. They've got to play well. They got to play well early for me to really buy into what they're doing there at quarterback.
All right, Jeffrey. Last thing for you. Getting back to the schedule. Apparently, the Ravens not real happy with the way things worked out for them. Back to back Christmas road games. Wednesday made up NFL nonsense, money grab sort of things. Kansas City's kind of in the same boat. So are the Chiefs looking at that schedule, going, "Oh yeah, NFL did us a lot of favors this year."
Oh yeah, they're in that whatever 3 games in 10 days boat, just like you. They really didn't make it easy on them, but you know, I guess that they want to try to balance it out. I mean, hey, look, playing the Ravens and the Bengals first 2 weeks of the season—that's no easy stretch either. But this is what comes with being, you know, a championship caliber, being a champion, being having a chance to pursue a three-peat. The NFL loves parity. They want to make it tough on you. But you're right. I look at the Ravens first, you know, four or five weeks there where you got the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Bengals. Man, that's a murderer's row right there. I mean, forget about it. You get to Christmas with a winning record. You're doing pretty good. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for both those teams.
Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com, NFL Network. Jeffrey, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Hey, I always love it.
You got it, man.
Call anytime, guys.
Yep, there's Jeffrey Chedia, everybody. We'll come back. American League East Report, let you know what happened over the weekend in the division. We'll give you an updated standings look. We'll look at today's busy MLB schedule. Right now, Braves up 4-0 over the Padres. Bottom of the third down in Atlanta. Orioles at St. Louis taking on the Cardinals. We'll talk about that and more with John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner at the bottom of the hour.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, time for the American League East report on this Monday. Interesting weekend throughout the division. We'll start with the Orioles. Winning yesterday, 6-3 over Seattle. Gunnar Henderson leads off with a home run, his 15th of the year. Sixth leadoff homer. He's homered in three straight games. Corbin Burns gets the win. Ryan O'Hearn also went deep. Want to give him some credit. Same with Cedric Mullins. He had a couple of ribbies yesterday, so got off the schneid just a little bit there. Did old number 31. So the Orioles win the series against the Seattle Mariners. They win Friday, lose game two. Tough one after a three-hour rain delay, but win it nonetheless. Avoid another sweep. What's that, 107 straight series or something crazy like that, 106. Craig Kimbrell picks up his ninth save of the year, a dominant ninth-inning performance, and Corbin Burns strikes out 11 to pick up his first win in a long, long time. So the Orioles handle their business, taking out the Seattle Mariners. Also in the division, Boston was at St. Louis over the weekend, where the Orioles will be starting tonight, a three-game series, which we'll get into here in a second. And Boston actually going into yesterday's finale, trying to avoid the sweep. And one of their hottest hitters stayed hot.
O'Neill takes off, and this one towering high in the air toward right center. Ciani as far as he can go. At the wall, won't get it. Devers has homered in his fifth straight game.
Roku. So that's a new network. Well, I've got Roku, but I didn't know they had baseball. I got to plead ignorance.
They just signed on. They're the new, like Peacock used to be the Sunday National.
Oh, right. Oh, so that's out?
I believe so.
Peacock's out. Apple TV's still in. Matter of fact, I think the Orioles are on Friday against the White Sox. Plan accordingly. So Roku. How about that? Rafael Devers, as you heard on the broadcast, his fifth straight game with a homer as the Red Sox clobber the Cardinals 11-3. St. Louis, however, did win the series 2-1 up in the Bronx. Yankees taking on the White Sox, and all rise, I guess. I'll go there, sure.
Driven the other way and deep. Jimenez will not make the play. Gone. Aaron Judge, a two-run shot.
Yes, network on the call. 7-2 was the final score as the Yankees sweep the hapless Sox over the weekend, and we'll get into their standings and their winning streak and all that good stuff here in a couple of minutes. Up in Toronto, Tampa was going for the sweep against the Blue Jays, and the home team survived that one anyway. Good for them.
In the air to right center field. And there it is. His first home run as a Toronto Blue Jay, and that makes it 1-0.
That is Sportsnet Toronto, Daniel Vogelbach. First home run, as you heard, as a member of the Blue Jays. 5-2 was the final score as the Toronto team salvages the finale. Tampa does win the series, obviously. 2-1 there. Tonight in the division, Chicago, the White Sox. Well, actually today, 3:07. Taking on Toronto there. Boston is at Tampa, 6:50. And then Seattle, who just left Baltimore. They're up in the Bronx taking on the New York Yankees, Orioles, and the Cardinals tonight as Dean Kramer is on the hill. Old man bun, 3-3 with a 3.72 earned run average. The rotation's been tweaked a little bit, as you know, with the return of Grayson Rodriguez. Rain out, force pushing up, pushing back. And Dean Kramer, he'll be on the hill tonight. Orioles are 29-15. They're 12-5 on the roads and doing well away from home. They're taking on the Cardinals, who are 20-26. Ollie Marmol is the manager there. Hadn't been the greatest of runs for him since he replaced Mike Shildt, who was fired unceremoniously a couple years ago after taking them to the playoffs a couple of times. Shildt now the manager, by the way, in San Diego with the Padres. But Sonny Gray was brought into the equation to bolster the rotation. And they brought in Kyle Gibson. They also brought it back Lance Lynn. But Sonny Gray, 5-2 with a 3.05. It's a 7:45 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for game one starting at 6 o'clock. And we'll have your lineups. We'll have the pitching matchups. We'll have player spotlight. We'll have keys with Bordy. Got all that coming your way. Getting you ready for the Battle of Birds out there in the arch city of St. Louis. Standings in the American League East on this Monday, May the 20th. Yankees, 33-15 on the year. They won 7 in a row, 8 of 10. They're 2 games up on the Birds, who are 29-15. Orioles are 6-4 in their last 10 games. Tampa, coming off that series win in Toronto, they're 25-23. They're 8 games off the pace. Boston is 9.5 games off the pace, losers of 6 of 10. And Toronto's bringing up the rear. They're 11.5 back. They've lost 6 of 10 as well. In the AL Central, Cleveland, the Guardians, they won 3 in a row. They're 1.5 up on Kansas City. The Royals have won 3 straight. They won 7 of 10, just laying waste to the A's. Minnesota, remember how hot they were? Well, they've lost 6 in a row. So the Twinkies, they're scuffle city right now. They've lost 7 of 10. They've fallen 5.5 games off the pace. The Tigers hitting the skids a little bit as well. They're back at 500. They're 6.5 out. And the White Sox are already 16 games back. They've lost 3 straight to the Yankees out west. Seattle, even though they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, they're still 1.5 up on Texas in the west. Don't look now, but Houston's won 8 of 10. They moved to win within 4 games of first place. The A's have lost 8 straight. They're really struggling out there. It's a lot of people expected they would. Out in the NL East, Phillies 5 games up on Atlanta. As the Phillies have won 3 in a row, 8 of 10. The Brewers are 2 games up on the Cubs. In the Central and out west, the Dodgers, they've won 3 straight. They are 7.5 games up on San Diego with the Giants 8.5 off the pace. And the defending National League champion Diamondbacks are 9 back there. That is your updated look at the standings here on this Monday as Major League Baseball heads into its Memorial Day weekend, which is coming up this weekend. When we come back, we'll talk more Orioles with John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner. Who's his top 3 Oriole MVP candidates through 44 games? Then a butt-ass trip with Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access takes over at 2.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
As you heard during the update, Orioles tonight, St. Louis taking on the Cardinals. Expected to be in the 80s. There's sun in the forecast. Either I'm hallucinating or I'm pretty sure the sun's out now in Baltimore for the first time in forever. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready. Dean Kramer taking on Sonny Gray. Orioles just take 2 out of 3. from the Mariners over the weekend. First place, Seattle Mariners. They're still there, too, in the AL West. But let's talk about what happened over the weekend, talk about the week that's coming up, and some tough roster moves that were made over the weekend as well. From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome in John Mioli. John, good afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. What's happening over there?
Same old, to be totally honest with you. But we'll start with Mike Bauman and the DFA, as the Orioles had a tough roster move to make as Grayson Rodriguez came back from the IL and came back with a vengeance, as a matter of fact. But correct me if I'm wrong, I think Cano and Aiken are the only two relievers that had options. So a decision was made, a difficult one at that. And, you know, Bauman's a guy that, as you know, John, came up through the ranks, was drafted, was developed, at one time was one of their top pitching prospects, now probably in all likelihood moving on. So in the Brandon Hyde era of tough decisions, where's this one ranking right now for him and Elias?
Yeah, I think it actually is a tough decision, which is kind of a distinction from a lot of the times we hear about tough decisions. You know, most of the time, there's an easy call to make, even if there's like a lot of choices that the team could make. There's one that is just like simple and makes the most sense from our roster standpoint. There wasn't anything like that in this one. Everything you said about Mike Bauman is true. I was there when he threw a no-hitter in Bowie in 2019. You don't unsee things like that. Obviously, we're talking about 5 years. A lot has happened since then. You know, he had an elbow injury that slowed down his development. He didn't really have like a role in this bullpen. And I was trying to, not to go on a tangent and start plugging stuff, but we're starting a subscriber only newsletter at the Banner, this week. And I was putting that together and I was kind of thinking about what I thought about this Mike Bauman decision. He's one of the rare guys in this bullpen over the last couple of years that didn't really have like a role or a specialized skill set, which meant that whenever there was somebody, whenever anyone else's role didn't come up, he was just the guy that would come in. So whether that's early in a game, whether that's, you know, we've used all our other relievers and it's the 10th and we got to win this game and we got Mike Bauman available, he would just pitch all the time. And sometimes it would go well. There were a handful of times when it didn't, but this is somebody who has really good stuff. This year, particularly, some of the expected stats are a lot better than they have been in the past. The quality of contact for opponents isn't what it was in 2023 this year. So you wonder if this is a situation where somebody's finally getting to the level that, you know, taking that next step in the big leagues at a time when the Orioles have to get rid of him. But it's unfortunate for the team. I think he's going to go somewhere, obviously. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of waiver claims put in for him once the Orioles go through that process. I think he's going to end up in a place where he gets to pitch a lot and he'll continue to pitch well. But there wasn't really any alternative, and I think it just speaks to the talent that's been amassed on this roster that this is what happened.
Now, Ryan McKenna's decision might not have been as difficult, but still another guy that came up through the ranks, as you know, John, again, with a lot of these players, and now he's in San Francisco. But, you know, there's a guy that got caught up in a numbers game, and I think we can all figure that one out.
Yeah, and you know, this generation of players, you know, we saw it. You know, Trey Mancini was a little bit ahead of them. I think there's going to be a lot of instances as time progresses of kind of the clock hitting zero on some of these guys. I think Ryan McKenna is somebody who did the role that he had for the Orioles, you know, very well. But the reality is that you have your core guys, and as you're trying to work on the margins, it's hard to have guys who are on those margins who don't have options and you can't be flexible with. And I think we found this week with both of these guys, you know, Ryan McKenna for sure and Mike Bauman probably leaving the organization, that, you know, there's a consequence of that.
John Mioli, BaltimoreBanner.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. So Seattle's in the rearview mirror. Corbin Burnes picks up his first win, and it seemed like, John, forever. We know the track record coming over from Milwaukee with the Cy Young Award on his resume. He had one of the lowest earned run averages in the second half of last season. He's a stud. We get all of that. But has he exceeded expectations, or is he pitching kind of what you thought you were going to get from the new ace of the team?
I mean, this is what you sign up for, I think. I feel like it's, you know, you want nights like, or days like yesterday, you want days like opening day where you're just punching everybody out and going out there and dominating. But there hasn't been many, if any, outings where, you know, you can say that he really got into trouble, you know, and he'll have little spurts where, you know, it might be a couple hits quick or a couple base runners in quick succession and a run or two comes across. But like overall, this is somebody who is in complete control and command, not of his pitches, but just of the game that he's starting. And I think it speaks to the quality and the consistency of what he's doing, that as the Orioles are going to the six-man rotation and trying to, you know, game out how they're going to get through this long stretch with only one off day, they're still keeping him on his five, you know, normal 5-day rest, because he is good enough to do that. And when you have somebody who's doing as well as he is, you just let them do what they want to do. And you say thank you after those starts every fifth day. So I think you're getting exactly what you signed up for with Corbin Burns.
John, what's been different about Craig Kimbrell last four outings after that rough stretch? A lot of Oriole fans wanted him gonzo, even going to the point where I didn't want him in the first place. This is why they need to get rid of him. Now he's been really good as of late, yesterday as well. What's been different about him?
The results are simply, I think it's just that it's going well. You know, I have an overarching closer belief, and then I have a Craig Kimbrell belief, and my overarching closer belief is that, like, you can't be a bad closer. You're either a good closer or they don't have you be the closer anymore. You don't get to be a bad closer for long, and that's what Craig Kimbrell kind of found out when it wasn't going his way. He started pitching in the sixth inning, and he got it back, and now he's doing what you expect him to, and that's kind of my broader thought on Craig Kimbrell, is that you might not enjoy every Craig Kimbrell outing. You might not enjoy every Craig Kimbrell week. You might not enjoy like stretches of the time, but you know, there's a reason why he's been doing this as well as he has for so long. And when you sign a Craig Kimbrell, you are pretty assured of getting a very good season overall. There's going to be times when it doesn't feel like you are. I think the Orioles are fortunate to have won a lot of those games where he wasn't pitching well too. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, of evaluating somebody whose work is best appreciated over the course of a full season on a handful of outings. And you're never gonna, you know, you can do that. And there weren't a lot of things going wrong with this team at that time. They're still not. So it's natural for his struggles to get as much attention as they did. But I think you're just kind of getting right now, you know, a little bit more of what you'd expect from him.
As the Orioles are now into the next phase of whatever they're in, which is winning a world championship, we guess, rebuild, forget about all that. Buyer's mode, we think. Tons of prospects, as you know, you see them. How aggressive Mike Elias going to be trying to fill whatever holes this team might have as we get closer to the trade deadline, since we're coming up already on Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound like a fence city answer. I think they're going to be more aggressive than they have been. I don't think you're going to see them make like a huge, like, you know, franchise altering trade, but I think they're going to be aggressive in targeting what they want to, simply because they're, you know, I'm just sitting here without rattling them off. There are probably a dozen like minor leaguers who will warrant being added to the 40-man roster this winter. Some of them more obviously than others, but like, if you think you're going to lose somebody, you don't really gain a lot by keeping them, you know, and having them get Rule 5. There's no real benefit to that. The Orioles saw a couple guys last year, and you know, somebody like Drew Rahm, who they moved on from early, Daryl Hernandez, they moved on from early because they didn't see them in those long-term plans. So I think there's going to be opportunities to trade talented pieces and get talented major leaguers back, because simply the players that are traded are not here. So I think they're going to be more aggressive than the past. I don't think we're going to be sitting here talking about any kind of transformational acquisition, because I'm not sure what could transform this team. But we're also not going to be sitting here talking about, you know, Jack Flaherty and Shintaro Fujinami in a couple months.
Oh, Fuji, I forgot all about him. So you're saying no Mason Miller for Heston Kerstad? No, nothing along those lines, right?
I'm sure that would be something that they would think about if it was possible. I'm not sure that phone call would be a long one, but I'm not sure who would hang up. You know, I'm just not sure that phone call would be a long one.
All right, John, Nolan and I were talking earlier. Rich Dubroff joined us as well. 44 games into the season. Oriole MVP. I went Gunner. I went Westberg second, Adley third. Nolan went Gunner, Corbin Burns, Westberg. Rich took Adley as his MVP. Who's John Mioli's Oriole MVP through 44 games here?
Oh, Gosh, I'm going to say Gunnar as well. I think that, you know, I think it would be a strange occurrence for somebody to be the league MVP and not their own teams. And the way Gunnar's playing, he's in that conversation. So you know, it's almost like a prerequisite. He's got to take the 100 level course and you know, be the Orioles MVP before he could be the league one. But I think that it's always going to be a fascinating dynamic with between, you know, Gunnar and Adley Rutschman, because Gunnar Henderson is so dynamic. You can't not be in awe of what he does almost on a nightly basis. And, you know, Adley Rutschman's having the best offensive season of his career by far. This is the best stretch of his best season that we're in right now, but there's so much he does that is easy to underappreciate. So I understand exactly where Rich is coming from. And, I'm sure he would understand why we're all saying Gunner.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
As you heard during the update, the Orioles tonight, St. Louis taking on the Cardinals. Expected to be in the 80s. There's sun in the forecast. Either I'm hallucinating or I'm pretty sure the sun's out now in Baltimore for the first time in forever. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready. Dean Kramer taking on Sonny Gray. Orioles just take 2 out of 3. From the Mariners over the weekend, first place, Seattle Mariners. They're still there, too, in the AL West. But let's talk about what happened over the weekend, talk about the week that's coming up, and some tough roster moves that were made over the weekend as well. From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome in John Mioli. John, good afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. What's happening over there?
Same old, to be totally honest with you. But we'll start with Mike Bauman and the DFA, as the Orioles had a tough roster move to make, as Grayson Rodriguez came back from the IL and came back with a vengeance, as a matter of fact. But correct me if I'm wrong, I think Cano and Aiken are the only two relievers that had options. So a decision was made, a difficult one at that. And, you know, Bauman's a guy that, as you know, John, came up through the ranks, was drafted, was developed, at one time was one of their top pitching prospects, now probably in all likelihood moving on. So in the Brandon Hyde era of tough decisions, where's this one ranking right now for him and Elias?
Yeah, I think it actually is a tough decision, which is kind of a distinction from a lot of the times we hear about tough decisions. You know, most of the time, there's an easy call to make, even if there's like a lot of choices that the team could make. There's one that is just like simple and makes the most sense from a roster standpoint. There wasn't anything like that in this one. Everything you said about Mike Bauman is true. I was there when he threw a no-hitter in Bowie in 2019. You don't unsee things like that. Obviously, we're talking about 5 years. A lot has happened since then. You know, he had an elbow injury that slowed down his development. He didn't really have like a role in this bullpen. And I was trying to, not to go on a tangent and start plugging stuff, but we're starting a subscriber only newsletter at the Banner, this week. And I was putting that together and I was kind of thinking about what I thought about this Mike Bauman decision. He's one of the rare guys in this bullpen over the last couple of years that didn't really have like a role or a specialized skill set, which meant that whenever there was somebody, whenever anyone else's role didn't come up, he was just the guy that would come in. So whether that's early in a game, whether that's, you know, we've used all our other relievers and it's the 10th and we got to win this game and we got Mike Bauman available, he would just pitch all the time. And sometimes it would go well. There were a handful of times when it didn't, but this is somebody who has really good stuff. This year, particularly, some of the expected stats are a lot better than they have been in the past. The quality of contact for opponents isn't what it was in 2023 this year. So you wonder if this is a situation where somebody's finally getting to the level that, you know, taking that next step in the big leagues at a time when the Orioles have to get rid of him. But it's unfortunate for the team. I think he's going to go somewhere, obviously. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of waiver claims put in for him once the Orioles go through that process. I think he's going to end up in a place where he gets to pitch a lot and he'll continue to pitch well. But there wasn't really any alternative, and I think it just speaks to the to the talent that's been amassed on this roster that this is what happened.
Now, Ryan McKenna's decision might not have been as difficult, but still another guy that came up through the ranks, as you know, John, again, with a lot of these players, and now he's in San Francisco. But, you know, there's a guy that got caught up in a numbers game, and I think we can all figure that one out.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this generation of players, you know, we saw it. You know, Trey Mancini was a little bit ahead of them. I think there's going to be a lot of instances as time progresses of kind of the clock hitting zero on some of these guys. I think Ryan McKenna is somebody who did the role that he had for the Orioles, you know, very well. But the reality is that you have your core guys, and as you're trying to work on the margins, it's hard to have guys who are on those margins who don't have options and you can't be flexible with. And I think we found this week with both of these guys, you know, Ryan McKenna for sure and Mike Ballin probably leaving the organization, that, you know, there's a consequence of that.
John Mioli, BaltimoreBanner.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. So Seattle's in the rearview mirror. Corbin Burnes picks up his first win, and it seemed like, John, forever. We know the track record coming over from Milwaukee with the Cy Young Award on his resume. He had one of the lowest earned run averages in the second half of last season. He's a stud. We get all of that. But has he exceeded expectations, or is he pitching kind of what you thought you were going to get from the new ace of the team?
I mean, this is what you sign up for, I think. I feel like it's, you know, you want nights like, or days like yesterday, you want days like opening day where you're just punching everybody out and going out there and dominating. But there hasn't been many, if any, outings where, you know, you can say that he really got into trouble, you know, and he'll have little spurts where, you know, it might be a couple hits quick or a couple base runners in quick succession and a run or two comes across. But like overall, this is somebody who is in complete control and command, not of his pitches, but just of the game that he's starting. And I think it speaks to the quality and the consistency of what he's doing, that as the Orioles are going through the 6-man rotation and trying to, you know, game out how they're going to get through this long stretch with only one off day, they're still keeping him on his five, you know, normal 5-day rest, because he is good enough to do that. And when you have somebody who's doing as well as he is, you just let them do what they want to do. And you say thank you after those starts every fifth day. So I think you're getting exactly what you signed up for with Corbin Burnes.
John, what's been different about Craig Kimbrell last four outings after that rough stretch? A lot of Oriole fans wanted him gonzo, even going to the point where I didn't want him in the first place. This is why they need to get rid of him. Now he's been really good as of late, yesterday as well. What's been different about him?
The results are probably, sure. Simply, I think it's just that it's going well. You know, I have an overarching closer belief, and then I have a Craig Kimbrell belief, and my overarching closer belief is that, like, you can't be a bad closer. You're either a good closer or they don't have you be the closer anymore. You don't get to be a bad closer for long, and that's what Craig Kimbrell kind of found out when it wasn't going his way. He started pitching the sixth inning, and he got it back, and now he's doing what you expect him to, and that's kind of my broader thought on Craig Kimbrell, is that you might not enjoy every Craig Kimbrell outing. You might not enjoy every Craig Kimbrell week. You might not enjoy like stretches of the time, but you know, there's a reason why he's been doing this as well as he has for so long. And when you sign a Craig Kimbrell, you are pretty assured of getting a very good season overall. There's going to be times when it doesn't feel like you are. I think the Orioles are fortunate to have won a lot of those games where he wasn't pitching well too. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, of evaluating somebody whose work is best appreciated over the course of a full season on a handful of outings. And you're never going to, you know, you can do that. And there weren't a lot of things going wrong with this team at that time. They're still not. So it's natural for his struggles to get as much attention as they did. But I think you're just kind of getting right now, you know, a little bit more of what you'd expect from him.
As the Orioles are now into the next phase of whatever they're in, which is winning a world championship, we guess, rebuild, forget about all that. Buyer's mode, we think. Tons of prospects, as you know, you see them. How aggressive Mike Elias going to be trying to fill whatever holes this team might have as we get closer to the trade deadline, since we're coming up already on Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound like a fence city answer. I think they're going to be more aggressive than they have been. I don't think you're going to see them make like a huge, like, you know, franchise-altering trade, but I think they're going to be aggressive in targeting what they want to, simply because they're, you know, I'm just sitting here without rattling them off. There are probably a dozen, like, minor leaguers who will warrant being added to the 40-man roster this winter, some of them more obviously than others, but, like, if you think you're going to lose somebody, you don't really gain a lot by keeping them, you know, and having them get Rule 5. There's no real benefit to that. The Orioles saw a couple guys last year, and you know, somebody like Drew Rahm, who they moved on from early, Daryl Hernandez, they moved on from early because they didn't see them in those long-term plans. So I think there's going to be opportunities to trade talented pieces and get talented major leaguers back, because simply the players that are traded are not here. So I think they're going to be more aggressive than the past. I don't think we're going to be sitting here talking about any kind of transformational acquisition, because I'm not sure what could transform this team, but we're also not going to be sitting here talking about, you know, Jack Flaherty and Jintaro Fujinami in a couple months.
Oh, Fuji, I forgot all about him. So you're saying no Mason Miller for Heston Kerstad? Nothing along those lines, Rick.
I'm sure that would be something that they would think about if it was possible. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that phone call would be a long one, but I'm not sure who would hang up. You know, I'm just not sure that phone call would be a long one.
All right, John, Nolan and I were talking earlier. Rich Dubroff joined us as well. 44 games, into the season. Oriole MVP. I went Gunner. I went Westberg second. Adley third. Nolan went Gunner. Corbin Burns. Westberg. Rich took Adley as his MVP. Who's John Mioli's Oriole MVP through 44 games here?
Oh gosh, I'm gonna say Gunner as well. I think that, you know, I think it would be a strange occurrence for somebody to be the league MVP and not their own teams, and the way Gunner's playing, he's in that conversation. So you know, it's almost like a prerequisite. He's got to take the 100 level course and you know, be the Orioles MVP before he could be the league one. But I think that it's always going to be a fascinating dynamic with between, you know, Gunner and Adley Rutschman, because Gunnar Henderson is so dynamic. You can't not be in awe of what he does almost on a nightly basis. And, you know, Adley Rutschman's having the best offensive season of his career by far. This is the best stretch of his best season that we're in right now, but there's so much he does that is easy to underappreciate. So I understand exactly where Rich is coming from. And I'm sure he would understand why we're all saying Gunner as well.
Yeah. All right, John, what's happening at Baltimore Banner?
Yeah, so tomorrow afternoon, the Banner is introducing a subscriber-only newsletters. The first one is something called Inside the Dugout. I'm going to be writing it. You know, it's funny. I used to have a newsletter that wasn't a newsletter. Now I actually have one, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that. But it's another avenue for people who are kind enough to support the Banner and subscribe to get some value out of that. We're going to be doing it once a week. It's going to be a lot of the same stuff, the things that I'm writing, you know, on a weekly basis, but, you know, in a different format and delivered directly. So a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of interest that's been generated in that so far. I hope to live up to it, but it's going to be awesome. Anyone who subscribes to the Banner has probably gotten some emails about it and should definitely subscribe.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. John, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Thanks, you as well.
You got it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. We'll come back, take a trip through the fun house, and then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Coming up at 6, it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Me and Mike Bordick, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, getting you ready for Game 1, Orioles and Cardinals, here on The Fan.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Stay tuned for that. Then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tonight at 6, me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for the Orioles and Cardinals game 1 of a 3-game set. 4 night games during the week. Tonight, tomorrow night, St. Louis day game Wednesday, then off to Chicago, taking on the White Sox. Friday night's game. And I'm just giving you a heads up now, because I know you're going to be running hot. It's going to be on Apple TV Plus. So Orioles get a little Friday night fun in Chicago. Let me just confirm. Yeah, Apple TV Plus Friday, 7:40 first pitch. But me and Bordy getting you ready with BBT. Orioles the Ravens OTAs this week, open to the media. on Wednesday. So we'll be hearing from various Ravens. I'm guessing we'll hear from John Harbaugh as we have organized team activities for the first time this year. First of 3 weeks, and then it's a mandatory mini camp in less than a month, June 13th through the 15th. And then after that, that's kind of all she wrote for football until training camp starts at a date to be determined in late July. Ravens have an interesting schedule, which we talked about last week, and I'm sure we'll talk about many more times. Knicks are gone. Nuggets are gone. Both eliminated from the NBA playoffs. Final Four is set there. It's Minnesota against Dallas in the West and Boston against the Pacers in the East. Alexander Usyk is the undisputed heavyweight champion after beating Tyson Fury with some controversy. Split decision on Saturday, and Seize the Gray wins the Preakness over Mystic Dan. So no Triple Crown winner here in 2024. And Maryland beat Duke over the weekend. They'll play Virginia in the semifinals of the men's lacrosse tournament. Notre Dame against Denver in the other win. Nolan, you ready to get on up out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quick draws, fun outs. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here said everyone is so quick to want to trade these young prospects that are being blocked right now. Next year, we'll likely have multiple openings for some of those guys to come up. Not to mention one of the starters or a guy like Tyler Wells could fill the closer role down the road.
Well, Tyler Wells might be looking at some pretty significant elbow stuff. So I think I would pump the brakes on anything with him right now. Yeah, he hasn't even started throwing yet. Santander's a free agent. So who knows what the future holds there.
Hayes also a free agent or close?
Him and Hayes and Said, I believe, are free agents after next year.
Okay.
Same with Mountie. But to the texter's point, there could be some room at the inn open, perhaps. There's all the outfielders are left-handed. I mean, if Kyle Stowers hit right-handed, he'd probably be playing a hell of a lot more than he is right now. Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah.
Or Heston Kerstad.
Sure.
But they're not. So that's the reality of the situation. So it'll be interesting to see how this will all unfold. And now you've got the Jorge Mateo revival. I mean, does he establish some sort of trade value? And then Jackson Holliday comes up next year to assume a full-time role? I mean, who knows?
That
man
would be an all-time twist right there.
Yeah.
To go from, a decent fun piece of a rebuilding team to then the odd man out. And all of a sudden, now he's starting again.
Yeah. And doing well.
Right.
Yes, he is. And we said it earlier. I thought Mateo was past tense. Now here he is, very much present tense and then some. But yeah, look, it's a great, great problem to have. It's a problem, but it's a great one to have for sure.
As far as team MVP, Howard in Baltimore checking in here says, I believe the most valuable Oriole so far has been Brandon Hyde. Navigating the pitching woes, blown saves from Kimbrel. Some batting slumps as well, low-scoring games. He's kept this young team focused. I need to consider the most valuable manager so far.
Well, Ray and Rashawn would both probably strongly disagree with Brandon Hyde being the most valuable Oriole. Look, I think he takes a lot of criticism. Some of it is justified. The Hyder hook for starters could be a little bit frustrating, and there's just beholden to the matchup sort of thing. Just playing your gut no longer seems to be part of being a manager nowadays. But, you know, Brandon Hyde, I think, based on where he was, I thought this guy was going to come in, bridge a gap till they got good, and then fancy manager was going to come sliding in here to take credit and get World Series. Brandon Hyde's been that guy all along for Mike Elias.
And I would definitely fall in the camp of, you know, I don't agree with every one of his decisions. There's some things he does that have me scratching my head. But, you know, you don't just luck into being the manager of a 100-win team. You know, he is very responsible for that. He's a big part of that. So, you know, winning manager of the year last year, very deserved. Still a good manager, even if you don't agree with everything.
Hey, look, he won Sporting News Manager of the Year 2 years ago. So he's won a Manager of the Year award the last two seasons, and I'm guessing he'll be part of the equation here in 2024, even though I would say Stephen Vogt in Cleveland might be the leader in the clubhouse there.
And this is an interesting one, sort of along the same lines, says, you know, like you guys were saying earlier, the Orioles have championship-level expectations and standards. Their rough patches different from most in the league. Things always seem worse than they actually are.
They haven't been swept in 2 years. And let me, again, and I'm not Earl Weaver, speaking of great managers, when you don't get swept, you don't have eight-game losing streaks. And that's what they've avoided. And they're winning series. They're beating the American League East head-to-head. Yeah, their rough patches are, what, 3 days? And then they seem to get things wrong. Hey, look, they've scored 9 runs and 6 runs two of the last 3 games. You know, that's a nice sign that the bats are starting to come out of slumberland here.
Right, and all of that stuff gets magnified. You know, when Kimbrel was having his meltdowns, you know, the rest of the team was playing pretty well. You know, you were playing well enough to win, and then he blows the save. So that gets magnified, and, you know, the sky's falling. We got a closer problem and get rid of him and all that. Because we went weeks without complaining about anything. So when you don't have, you know, it wasn't that long ago where this team was just devoid of talent. And there was nothing good to highlight. You know, you were waiting for every fifth day when John Means would start.
Right.
That was your light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Now, you know, one mistake a week, the sky's falling.
Yeah, John Means might be your fifth starter as we sit here on May the 20th. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Me and Mike Bordick brought to you by Salvo, getting you ready for the Birds and the Cardinals out there in St. Louis. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. Fan.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Stay tuned for that. Then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tonight at 6, me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for the Orioles and Cardinals game one of a 3-game set. 4 night games during the week. Tonight, tomorrow night, St. Louis day game Wednesday, then off to Chicago, taking on the White Sox Friday night's game. And I'm just giving you a heads up now because I know you're going to be running hot. It's going to be on Apple TV Plus. So Orioles getting a little Friday night fun in Chicago. Let me just confirm. Yeah, Apple TV Plus Friday, 7:40 first pitch. But me and Bordy getting you ready with BBT. The Ravens OTAs this week, open to the media on Wednesday. So we'll be hearing from various Ravens. I'm guessing we'll hear from John Harbaugh as we have organized team activities for the first time this year. First of 3 weeks. And then it's a mandatory mini camp in less than a month, June 13th through the 15th. And then after that, that's kind of all she wrote for football until training camp starts at a date to be determined in late July. Ravens have an interesting schedule, which we talked about last week, and I'm sure we'll talk about many more times. Knicks are gone. Nuggets are gone. Both eliminated from the NBA playoffs. Final Four is set there. It's Minnesota against Dallas in the West and Boston against the Pacers in the East. Alexander Usyk is the undisputed heavyweight champion after beating Tyson Fury with some controversy. Split decision on Saturday, and Seize the Gray wins the Preakness over Mystic Dan. So no Triple Crown winner here in 2024. And Maryland beat Duke over the weekend. They'll play Virginia in the semifinals of the men's lacrosse tournament. Notre Dame against Denver in the other win. Nolan, you're egging on up out of here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quick draws, fun outs. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here said, everyone is so quick to want to trade these young prospects that are being blocked right now. Next year, we'll likely have multiple openings for some of those guys to come up. Not to mention, one of the starters or a guy like Tyler Wells could fill the closer role down the road.
Well, Tyler Wells might be looking at some pretty significant elbow stuff. So I think I would pump the brakes on anything with him right now. Yeah, he hasn't even started throwing yet. Santander's a free agent. So who knows what the future holds there.
Hayes also a free agent or close?
Him and Hayes and Sed, I believe, are free agents after next year.
Okay.
Same with Mountie. Mountie, but to the texter's point, there could be some room at the inn open, perhaps. There's all the outfielders are left-handed. I mean, if there was a if Kyle Stowers hit right-handed, he'd probably be playing a hell of a lot more than he is right now. Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah.
Or Heston Kerstad.
Sure.
But they're not. So that's the reality of the situation. So it'll be interesting to see how this will all unfold. And now you've got the Jorge Mateo revival. I mean, does he establish some sort of trade value? And then Jackson Holliday comes up next year to assume a full-time role? I mean, who knows?
That would be an all-time twist right there.
Yeah.
Go from, a decent fun piece of a rebuilding team to then the odd man out, and all of a sudden, now he's starting again.
Yeah. And doing well.
Right.
Yes, he is. And we said it earlier. I thought Mateo was past tense. Now here he is, very much present tense. And then some. But yeah, look, it's a great, great problem to have. It's a problem, but it's a great one to have for sure.
As far as team MVP, Howard in Baltimore checking in here says, I believe the most valuable Oriole so far has been Brandon Hyde. Navigating the pitching woes, blown saves from Kimbrel, some batting slumps as well, low scoring games. He's kept this young team focused. I need to consider the most valuable manager so far.
Well, Ray and Rashawn would both probably strongly disagree with Brandon Hyde being the most valuable Oriole. Look, I think he takes a lot of criticism. Some of it is justified. The Hyder hook for starters could be a little bit frustrating, and there's just beholden to the matchup sort of thing. Just playing your gut no longer seems to be part of being a manager nowadays. But, you know, Brandon Hyde, I think, based on where he was, I thought this guy was going to come in, bridge a gap till they got good, and then fancy manager was going to come sliding in here to take credit and get World Series. Brandon Hyde's been that guy all along for Mike Elias.
And I would definitely fall in the camp of, you know, I don't agree with every one of his decisions. There's some things he does that have me scratching my head. But, you know, you don't just luck into being the manager of a 100-win team. You know, he is very responsible for that. He's a big part of that. So, you know, winning manager of the year last year, very deserved. Still a good manager, even if you don't agree with everything.
Look, he won Sporting News Manager of the Year 2 years ago. So he's won a Manager of the Year award the last two seasons. And I'm guessing he'll be part of the equation here in 2024, even though I would say Stephen Vogt in Cleveland might be the leader in the clubhouse there.
And this is an interesting one. Sort of along the same lines, says, you know, like you guys were saying earlier, the Orioles have championship level expectations and standards. Their rough patches different from most in the league. Things always seem worse than they actually are.
They haven't been swept in 2 years. And let me again, and I'm not Earl Weaver, speaking of great managers, when you don't get swept, you don't have 8-game losing streaks. And that's what they've avoided. And they're winning series. They're beating the American League East head-to-head. Yeah, their rough patches are, what, 3 days? And then they seem to get things wrong. Hey, look, they've scored 9 runs and 6 runs two of the last 3 games. You know, that's a nice sign that the bats are starting to come out of slumberland here.
Right, and all of that stuff gets magnified. You know, when Kimbrel was having his meltdowns, you know, the rest of the team was playing pretty well. You know, you were playing well enough to win, and then he blows the save. So that gets magnified, and, you know, the sky's falling. We got a closer problem and get rid of him and all that because we went weeks without complaining about anything. So when you don't have, you know, it wasn't that long ago where this team was just devoid of talent and there was nothing good to highlight. You know, you were waiting for every fifth day when John Means would start.
Right.
That was your light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Now, you know, one mistake a week The sky's falling.
Yeah, John Means might be your fifth starter as we sit here on May the 20th. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick brought to you by Salvo, getting you ready for the Birds and the Cardinals out there in St. Louis. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.